Everybody stare at Jim as he sits down. Glad y'all are here this morning. I seriously am so excited about Christmas. It is one of my, probably the most favorite time of the year. I love decorating the tree, turning the lights on, cutting all the lights out, sitting on the couch and just sitting there. I'm not sure why. It's kind of weird, but it's my favorite thing to do. All the kids are away. They're asleep. We're just sitting there in the dark. It's kind of nice. It's fun. I'm not sure why I told you that, but anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. So, yes, you can try that. Go home and see if it moves you the way that it moves me. Probably won't, but that's okay. I am excited about this series because what I wanted to do this year, in the book that we were reading in our teen time, had a lot to do with the prophecies of old, from Isaiah, Micah, even as far back as Numbers. And I thought it would be fun to go back and look at those in comparison to what actually played out. Because here's the thing. For us, if somebody were to stand here and tell us, here's who's going to win the Super Bowl, the NCAA football playoffs, the World Series, and the NBA championship, and they give you great detail, and then it plays out, the likelihood that we would listen to them a little bit more grows. Would you agree? Or the next presidency, or what Trump's going to do next, or what North Korea is going to do next. If they played it out to the T, we would start to listen a little bit more. Right? That's human nature. It's how we are. And so I think it's interesting when you go back and look through Scripture to all the things that were said that was going to happen, and then they actually happened. I think it's the reason why the Christian movement has grown and continued to grow and is still thriving the way that it's still thriving. I think that's important. And so for us, I think it's important for us to go back in order to prepare for the future. It's important for us to go back and look at what was said, how it played out, and then to look at what is said about what is to come and to be encouraged about what we're going to see and experience. And so here's where we're going to start today. Oh, Charlie, where art thou? The foretelling of a Savior. So we've got 4 weeks coming up. And we're going to spend some time looking at some old prophecies. Today we're going to look at the prophecies, the things that were told kind of really close to Christmas to kind of get us started, okay? So it's not like the old prophecies. These are things that happened right before Jesus was born. But nonetheless, the detail that was given, the way that it was presented is something that we can look at and say, okay, all right, I get that. So here's the thought that I have for you today. The accuracy of prophecy enhanced those not yet fulfilled. The accuracy of prophecy, the things that we're going to look at over the next 3 or 4 weeks, the accuracy of those prophecies and how they play out only enhance the prophecy that we read about in hopes that they're coming. Does that make sense? Are you guys awake? Because it's going to be vital for me that you are, or this is going to drag really bad. So the accuracy of what we're going to talk about the next 4 weeks helps us to stay motivated, to stay encouraged, to stay in tune to what we read about, knowing that if what was said before came true, then what is said now will come true. Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking at. And this is exciting for me. It's fun stuff to look at, especially if you've never really looked at it before. It's very, very interesting. So here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with the definition of prophecy, just so we're all on the same page. So the definition of prophecy is the foretelling, being able to know what's coming down the road, or prediction of what is to come. We're really looking at the foretelling because this isn't a prediction of it might happen, it may not happen. This is foretelling of this is what is happening or what has happened and it actually played out. And so that's the area that we're going to be looking at. And we're going to be looking at four different really Christmas story predictions or foretelling through the angels' mouths. So I'm really excited about this. So here we go. Here's the first one. We're going to kind of do it backwards. Usually we show scripture first and then throw up the points. We're going to throw up the points first today and then look at the scripture. The first one is when the angel appeared to Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is a priest, and he does his priestly duties and always doing the right thing, and he gets visited by an angel. And the angel tells him these grand things. And so let's look at what he tells them. Then the angel of the Lord in Luke chapter 1 starts in verse 11. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So Zechariah's in doing his deal, and this angel is standing there. That would be a little unnerving, right? Because this isn't normal. This doesn't normally happen, that is recorded anyway. And this angel is standing there. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Usually when an angel showed up, wasn't a good thing. Okay, so this guy just drops in fear. He's trembling. He's nervous. He's apprehensive about what he's getting ready to hear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard." Well, what prayer was that? They were praying for a child. They were ready to have a kid. And then, like most parents, we pray about it and we continue to pray about it and you never stop praying about it. But they were praying for a kid. "And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." So right off the bat, this angel shows up and says, "Hey, you guys have been praying for a kid. Just so you know, you're getting ready to have one. And he's going to be a special one. He's going to be a good kid. There's going to be a lot of celebration with this one." But he goes on, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord." The same Lord that Zacharias does all that he does while he's in the temple. He's going to be great. Isn't that kind of what we want to know about our kids when we have our kids, that they're just going to be great? Well, this angel says, "Zechariah, when you have John, he's going to be pretty amazing. And not just amazing in the sight of the people, but he's going to be amazing in the Lord. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit," watch this, "even from his mother's womb." That, to me, just blew me out of the water. For most of us, it takes us years to kind of figure this thing out and get really in tune with not just our salvation, but really in tune with the Spirit of God, to where we really are doing what is good all the time, right? That's hard for us. It's a constant battle between me and the Spirit of God that lives within me. Not me and Satan, but me and the Spirit of God. But this guy, John the Baptist, as we know him, John had the Spirit of God from the beginning. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that, but it's in the scripture, and we know the life of John and how he lived, so it's very, very accurate. And look what it says, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, there is so much in that statement that Zacharias has zero clue what that means down the line. I mean, we can see that he's making ready a people prepared for the Lord. We know what that means because we have the story and how it plays out. Zacharias doesn't have a clue what that is, but he's trusting the angel that whatever the angel has told him, that it's going to happen that way. Could you imagine what our lives would be like when we hear from God and he says, "I want you to do this this way, and this is what's going to happen"? Wonder if we would live a little differently. We question things so much. "Well, God, give me a sign to prove that." And then when you get that sign, what do? "Well, give me another sign to prove that sign, to prove what you told me was true." Right? We're always looking. What if we understood God in such a way that the first time he told us, we could believe it and just go with it? That's what happened here. Now, what's interesting with this story is if you continue reading, and I would encourage you to go home and read this story because it is really a neat one. Zacharias questions the angel. He says, "Well, how do I know that what you're telling me is accurate? How do I know that what you're telling me is legit?" Now, for me, I'm thinking, okay, Zacharias, you're standing in the temple, an angel just appeared to you and told you the prayer that you've been praying for is answered, gave you great detail about that, and you're still curious? Like, oh, wait a second, I do that all the time. We do it all the time. And Zacharias, to prove the angel's point, was struck mute. Couldn't talk. Could not talk for 9 months. So when he came out of the temple, the people are trying to talk to him to ask him what happened. And I'm sure he has this maybe sheepish look on his face. Maybe he's white as a ghost. Who knows what's going on? Maybe he came out and always gave this great oration. But this time he comes out and it's just different. And everybody's asking him and he can't answer. Could you imagine the frustration that he must have felt for 9 months? And then finally, once John came, They're trying to name him all these other names. And the first words out of his mouth is, we're going to call him John. It was just as the angel said. Now, we can continue to look at the story and watch John the Baptist do his amazing works and draw lots of men to him from the children of Israel and baptize them. And we get the benefit of seeing the prophecy that was told to Zacharias play out in real time and actually happen the way that the angel said it was going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that is great, encouraging news. Because sometimes I try to figure out the end times and how Jesus and God's going to play all this out and what it's going to look like. Because when you read about it, it's sometimes all over the map. And yet, I can look at a message like this and a story like this and say, you know what, I don't have to understand it all. I just need to know that because they said it's going to happen, I just need to be paying attention and waiting. Because it's going to happen. So the next visit we find is the visit with Mary. This is still in Luke chapter 1. This is right after the angel visits Zacharias. And the angel visits little Mary. Now, we're not sure on how old she is, but she was probably a young teenager to mid-teens. This is still early on in her life. But she must have been something special. She had to have been. To be able to do what God called her to do, to be chosen the way that God chose her, she had to have been an amazing young woman. I just think that's neat. And so here's how the story goes. This angel shows up. She doesn't freak out. I don't know about you, but again, put me in her shoes. I'm going to freak out. That's a little different for us. But maybe it happened so much and so regularly for them that it was just a part of their faith that it didn't bother them. Oh, if we could get to that place. The angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Wow, what a great introductory statement. Mary, there's no need to worry. I'm not here to zap you or maim you or kill you or anything like that. I am here, and here's why, Mary, because God has found favor with you. Can you feel the weight of such a statement? Maybe the weight of it, but also the elation of, wow, man, I am doing this right. This is nice. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Now, in her mind, she knows she's getting married, which means kids are likely to follow. So she's thinking, okay, I know I'm going to have a kid, so they just told me I have to call him Jesus. Great. So still, with all of this, she doesn't know really what's coming. "He will be great and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Think about what the children of Israel have always been looking for and crying out for. They've always been looking for a king. And now this young woman is getting ready to get married. She's told she's going to have a kid. He's going to be named Jesus. And he's going to be sitting on an amazing throne. He's going to follow in his grandfather's footsteps, King David. That's what we all want to hear, right? Our kids are going to be amazing and great, and they're going to have this great heritage and power and authority. Maybe in her mind she's thinking, wow, this is pretty neat. Still, all along, nothing has been said that he's the Son of God. This is just normal conversation that we would want to hear about our kids. "Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The part that I left out is the part I want to tell you about. Mary goes and says, "Well, how can I have a child? I don't know a man yet." And the angel looks at her and says, "You're not going to know a man to have this child. The Spirit of God is going to place this child within you." Now things have changed. Now we have gone from normal life of getting married, having kids, the kid being raised and doing great things, to not getting married, not going the normal route of having a kid, and this kid being formed within you, and it's not a normal child. It is the Son of God. And Mary, in her mind, this young mind, I would imagine, is just swirling. Like, you've got to be kidding me. But the angel begins to tell her of her cousin Elizabeth, who hasn't been able to have kids in forever. And he says, listen, why don't you go check up, because they're having a child. And they lived far apart, so there may not have been a lot of interaction. There's no phones then, so there probably was not a lot of communication. And when she goes to see Elizabeth after she is pregnant, here's what's cool. Elizabeth has John in her womb, and Mary simply walks in. Elizabeth hasn't seen her yet. She simply hears the voice of Mary, and in her womb, John leaps. Now, that may not move you, but that gave me the chills, and here's why. Elizabeth, who had been praying for a child for all these years, has a deaf husband, or a mute husband, that maybe they communicated somehow, some way, but as far as we know, nothing has been communicated. So she may not know what's going on. But the scriptures say that as soon as he leapt, she knew. There was something within her that the Spirit did through John as he's leaping in her belly that maneuvered her into a place where she knew that the Son of God, the one that would carry the great Savior of all, had just entered her home. And she goes straight to Mary and says, I already know. Now come on. That's good stuff. That is great stuff. That is stuff that when you hear things like that and then they actually play out, that should drive home even more the foundation of our faith. Now, some of you may want to, well, I want to know the details. I want to be able to explain it. I want to understand it to the nth degree. Guess what? You just may not. It should be enough that we can read it word for word of how it was going to play out and watch it play out should be enough for us to say, wow, that's pretty amazing. Just a great start to the whole story, the whole Christmas idea. And then the angel visits Joseph. Now, this one is a little bit different. This one's a little bit tougher. This is from Joseph's standpoint. So Joseph has now found out that Mary is with child. Now, they're not married yet. This is a big deal. Joseph has every right to put her away, make a big scene, make a big stink. And if he was going to put her away, I feel certain that he would have done it very quietly, very privately. He loved Mary. Mary was a special girl, and he did not want to do anything to disparage her, but he struggled with the idea of, do I continue with this, or do I let it go? It's a reasonable thought. And so in the moment, as he's wrestling with this, he's laying in bed, and he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do? I love Mary, but I can't wrap my brain around what she's telling me. An angel visited her, and now she's going to have the Son of God, like, this is a little weird for me. Amen? Would that not be weird for you? Come on. And so here's what happens. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, everybody he sought counsel from encouraged him, says, look, dude, you cannot go through with this. You got to let her go. Let her go in the right way, but you can't go through with this. This probably would not be a good idea for you. Just let it go. But he loves her. And maybe because of her faith, the way that she carries herself, he knew deep down that what they were suggesting that she might have done, there's no way she could have done. So there must be a different explanation. I love the faith that Joseph shows here. It should be our faith in so many ways, because there are things that God allows into our life and he allows into the lives around us that we cannot explain, that we just can't wrap our brains around, but we know that they are good people in our sense of understanding what good is, and we know that they love God, that their faith is strong, and so maybe there's a bigger plan playing out than what we can see, but we still wrestle with that, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with wrestling with those things. But look what happens. But while he thought about these things, he's contemplating it. He's working it through. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David. Now, this is very pointed. Like, there's no doubt. It's not like saying, hey, dude, because that could go to anybody. He's saying, Joseph, son of David. He's lining out the lineage. He's saying, listen, you are an important guy because of the lineage that you come from. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. Now, randomly in a dream, we have crazy dreams, right? Like sometimes you just have this real random dream and you're like, was that a sign from God? Am I supposed to do that? What? Like, so Joseph is having this dream and this angel shows up and says, Joseph, son of David, go ahead and marry, right? Take her as your wife. Now, maybe in that moment, while he's sleeping, a sigh of relief comes over him. Maybe he wakes up. I don't know. But it goes on. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's confirmation. And it's not just for confirmation for Joseph to understand that it's okay to carry on. He will be able to go back, which we're not going to see that, but later on in the story, he goes back to Mary and continues on this journey with her. Can you imagine the confirmation that she receives from the support that she gets from Joseph? It is huge. Again, it's this prophecy thing that she got. She doesn't understand it all. But when her husband that will stand in her corner, take the ridicule, take the nasty looks, and be beside her the entire way, that should bring confirmation and comfort to her soul. Because again, she doesn't understand it all. At least not that we know. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Here's another prophecy. There's a prophecy inside the prophecy. This is a statement by the angel saying, listen, here's what's going to happen. Your soon-to-be wife is going to have a child. It's not from anybody else. It is from God. And he will be the Son of God. And not only will he be the Son of God, but when he's here, he will take away the sins of the people. Now, do you think Joseph understood what that meant? Probably not. I wouldn't have. Maybe I would have thought, great, he's going to be a great preacher. Right? He's going to be another priest and go in and sacrifice the animals to make sure that the sins have been forgiven. But what this angel is talking about is something grander, bigger, far more, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever think. Joseph may have had this small mindset of what Jesus was going to do, but God had this bigger mindset of what he knew he was going to do. Again, for me, I read things like that, and my heart is strengthened, my faith is fortified, and I am encouraged deeply because the things that were said over 2,000 years ago are still coming true today. That's good stuff. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow. Now I know there's a lot of great emphasis put on Mary, because she is the carrier of the Son of God. But I want us to notice Joseph. It takes a lot of willpower for a young man to not know his wife for 9 months. Thank you. I was waiting for somebody to say that. Right? Like, I'm not trying to be way out there, but think about that. This guy had every opportunity to put this young lady away, treat her respectfully, but go and create another life for himself. But his faith wouldn't allow him to do that. His faith trusted in his God. And his God visited with him and said, listen, dude, I've got a special task for you. I got something I need you to do. And he took it on and he did it with flying colors. Wow. So many times in our lives, we are challenged with what is to come that we don't know, but there's little steps. Is our faith in the place that we can just jump on board and trust it to the fullest extent without even knowing really how that's going to play out? I hope it is. I mean, you hear us challenge you all the time to get to that place. It is an attainable place, just so you know. But it takes work. It takes discipline. It takes passion. It takes love and endurance. And it takes a clear mind and clear vision and open ears and a willing heart to truly hear and accept the things that we can't get and understand, but to trust that it is what it is, and we're going to go to the ends of the earth to do it. And that's what we find here. And here's the last one. The angels to the shepherds. This probably, out of all the Christmas story, this is my favorite part. And there's lots of reasons why, and I'll see if we get to that, but it's a good story. So, we fast forward. Mary and Joseph have made it into Nazareth. Jesus has been born. We know they're in the stable, blah, blah, blah. We know the whole Christmas story. But in a field, there are shepherds out in the field. Now, again, this kind of blows up our theory that Christmas happened in December, just so you know, just throw that out there. They're out in the field. They're watching the sheep. They're hanging out. Maybe they're sitting by a fire. Maybe they're half asleep. Maybe, who knows? These guys are kind of the lowest of the low. They're not like the most reliable people. They're sheep herders. Like, they're not trying to talk bad about them, but they're just sheep herders. They weren't anything special. In fact, one thing I read a long time ago was that if they were asked to go to court to give a testimony, it wouldn't even be admissible. That's the type of guys we're dealing with. So I find it fascinating that the first people that the news of Jesus' birth is revealed to are to them. It says, then the angel said to them, because these guys are terrified. Think about it. You're out in the dark. All these little sheep are sleeping. You're always worried about robbers and big animals. And then all of a sudden, this massive, I believe, massive angel shows up and shines this bright light all around them. I'd be a little scared too. Right? I'm the only chicken in here. Come on. But here's what the angel says. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Again, foretelling again. I'm bringing you the news that not only will you be able to share, but it's going to go on forever. It's for everybody to hear. For there is born to you, I love that, to you. Not to the children of Israel, not to the Jews alone, not to other people, but to you. You shepherds, you guys that you may not feel very worth very much, it's to you. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. Here's my favorite part. Again, we always want the signs. We always want the details. Well, these guys, maybe not the sharpest tack that you got. He says, the angel says, here's what you're going to find exactly. Number one, it's in the city of David, which was Bethlehem. And I said Nazareth early, sorry. It's in Bethlehem, right? Here's the second thing. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, not the normal wrapping that you would have. And not only that, but he's going to be laying in a manger. Now, I would love to have seen the shepherd's face after they kind of calm down a little bit. And they're thinking, what? You're telling me a baby wrapped in just some swaddling clothes and he's lying in a manger and he's the Son of God? He's the one that's the great news for all the world? And we know the story. What happens? They take off. It's always interesting what happened to the sheep. Maybe they took them. Maybe they left some of the guys back. We don't know how many worked together. We don't know if like two or three went. But all we know is the shepherds left. So maybe that's why there's so many sheep in the world. They're all wandering everywhere. Who knows? But they leave and they follow the sign all the way and they find it exactly the way they were told. Now again, for me, this is encouraging to me. That tells me that as slow as I am and as unsmart as I can be sometimes, that God can even speak to me and line things out in such a way that even I can get it. That's the great God that I serve. It doesn't matter my intelligence. It doesn't matter my worth. It doesn't matter my job status. It doesn't matter what title I have. If my heart is willing to hear from him, he is willing to speak to me in ways that only I can understand. And if he can do that to me, I guarantee you, not only that he can, but that he wants to do that with you. And for me, when I read this story of Christmas and I look at all of these wonderful prophecies, this is the thought that comes to mind for me because I think about the end times. You know, I worry about my boys. I worry about the state of our world. I wonder how far are we going to go? When's he coming back? I think about all of those things. But if I would take this to heart and remind myself that there are so many different prophecies and things that were told long ago that actually have played out to its fullest extent, it gives me courage, it gives me hope and motivation to read ahead, to see and understand the best that I can of what's coming, and to sit waiting, anxiously hoping that it's going to play out as it's already been set. For me, the Christmas story is not just about celebrating Jesus. It is fortifying to my faith to let me know that the prophecies of old played out, and the new prophecies that have been laid out will play out just like they have in the past. So that's what we're going to be looking at over the next 3 weeks from here on out, is some of these prophecies. We'll get in depth hopefully a little bit with it, but to see how it's going to play out for us and just to have our hearts warmed and encouraged. It's not my plan to be like a very hard series. I want this series to be very celebratory, really. More of a pick-me-up going into the Christmas season. Let's go into this season really being encouraged by the prophecies that were told, that they played out, and knowing that our faith will play out in the end because of the prophecies that have already been stated. Let me pray for you this morning. God, I do thank you for your love and your grace and your plan. God, I love how you plan things out and how you just do the way that you do. Lord, may we be encouraged and strengthened as we read your scripture and as we see the things that you lined out a long time ago, and as they are playing out even now, as they played out before. But to be encouraged by the things that we read about what is to come, to know that the same God that carried those prophecies out before will carry out these prophecies even now. May our hearts be encouraged this morning. May we be challenged, and may we do all that we can to do what is right in your sight, so that we may hear clearly from you when you are ready to speak to us and have the courage to actually carry it out. We love you, praise you, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. Just so you know, there may be some snacks out there. The junior boys and junior girls are having a competition. They had a bake-off last night. And so you guys are the judges. So if you want to go out.